up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.23, Familiar Devils, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Expedite. To expedite something is to cause it to happen faster.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 43. After resting from the fight, Harry visits Elaine and Ramirez in the hospital. Harry signs a petition to allow Marcone to sign the Uncelia Courts as a freeholding lord. Thomas finally talks to his brother about his new profession and means to feed.
So, Harry finally has a nap. It's a whole, 6 hours, which is great and better than nothing. But at the same time, if I just went through all that, I am definitely sleeping more than 6 hours.
He's got a little bit more urgent follow-up that he needs to find out, though.
Apparently. And Laura gave him a flash. Which is honestly not surprising, but also, really funny. I was just picking him up and running around like a rag doll. I guess that probably would be,
I remember the last time I've seen Tiger Bomb. I was like, oh, Tiger Bomb. That shit's been a long time.
He definitely doesn't seem to have the...
The little tin
common
of it,
popular.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's still... Well, but you're right. There was a time. It's not as
everyone
in fact.
Zambuck.
Yeah. For a while, everybody and used it for everything. And it's not sort of a household name quite the same way it used to be. But
now you get to play that song. You're old again.
Shut up, Tanzen.
I mean, that stuff worked, but it stung. Ooh, and it stunk.
So apparently, how Harry feels about it. But yes, I like how Molly went and got. She's like, "Oh, this looks bad. I'm gonna get Mom's first aid patch up dad kit."
Caretaker.
She is. I was gonna say, for all she grumbles about her mother and how overbearing and da 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 da, Molly is such her mother in so many ways. Yeah. And again, just has that.
Yeah, I like how boring Molly's night was.
I know. Isn't that fantastic? Harry's like, wait, what? He's like, I did this and I did this and everything. She's like, it was about an hour, and then the dog mouse started.
What would he have done, though, if
I was scared and I puked a lot.
Had left through the gate.
If he...
would he have then had to double back to the Wraith House to get Molly and be like, all right, now we can go home?
He would have been able to, whistle call Mouse, and Mouse would have been like, home! Or, they would have had to, fucking phone her or send somebody there to exactly let her know to leave,
And left her there alone with fleeing vampires,
in the car to protect her, so, Mouse wasn't letting them in the car, but other than that, exactly, that's funny. She just would have been sitting outside there waiting to... That was
Or, some renegade ghouls that are like...
Yeah, right.
I don't feel like doing this shit. I want to see what else is out here.
Gotta be a good veil, Molly.
Fuck you, Harry. Well, that's true, too. She was super veiled, so... Other than getting, accidentally stomped on by an 8-foot-tall ghoul that didn't know she was sitting there...
That's got to take a lot of effort to, be veiled like that as effectively as she does with the vehicle and a dog.
That's why Harry says
for an hour.
That's why.
A full hour.
Yeah, that is exactly that. It comes.
He's like, well, I couldn't, but.
Comes more easily to her and the fact that, she can actually, and because he said, even covering the whole existence of the car,
That she was even accommodating for, dust.
Yeah.
Like, that's bonkers.
Like, yeah, he can barely hide himself, let alone the fact that the exhaust and the dust, everything that was moving in and around.
That's why she sent them away. She's like, go away.
Get the fuck out. You're ruining. We're not compensating for any more stuff.
But that's like a real subtle nod to just to like how...
Molly's powerful. Ooh, that's the problem.
Yeah. That's why Harry like has to clamp down on her. That was the whole bead thing. She needs to understand her power before
go jump into our Discord and see how much everyone disagrees with us. actually,
they all thought the bead thing was stupid too.
No, they were like, they all got the lesson. They thought we were dumb for not getting it and agreeing with it.
I want to say you, because did I not agree?
Yeah,
with
they
the
meant you too.
I don't know. I gotta go and double check that.
They were like, Maggie, you're dumb. I tried to tell her.
I don't know.
So it must be nice having an apprentice that'll just take care of you, though, too. Like,
well, she
and for free.
Oh, well, that's the thing. Muscle Relaxes, Tiger Balm, Herbal Tea for Shiro that dad swears
she's
by.
She's like, Harry, I drugged you.
Yeah, and he's like, Padawan, I'm doubling your pay. You don't pay me.
I guess it's not so free because, you know, that whole Doom of Damocles over their heads.
There is, but it was actually really cute because, like, yesterday... The kid was, I don't know, bugging me for something, help with something, and I was like, patience, because I had to like kind of like double bag to. It was so, because again, I was only half paying attention. I was like, patience, I gotta. And then she was like, oh, she's like, I thought you were gonna say patience, young Padawan. I'm like, I am. Yep, that's usually what follows.
Yep.
I was like, oh, well, thank you.
So it is nice that Harry does ask Molly just how much information does she want to know.
Oh, you're not going to tell me? Like, well, I'll tell you. You might not want.
That's a lot more credence and kudos that he was not giving people, like, even 3 books ago.
Oh, yeah. Kim Delaney might still be alive.
This book, Ramirez.
It's a work in progress.
5 minutes ago. Yes.
But I like it on both their parts. The fact that Harry is willing to share and the fact that Molly's like, maybe I shouldn't know everything yet.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit of growth and maturity. And again, I guess slightly different. Like, I mean, it's funny what you say about Ramirez. But again, right? He isn't the one that is trained and reared, right? He has all his own biases and influences of whatever, right? Where at least Harry is like, no, you want my apprentice, you want my trainee. Mm-hmm. I can, right? But yeah, it is that whole moment again, just of Molly being like, maybe just tell me what you think. And Harry's like, good choice. Now when you leave out a bunch of critical information. Sort of.
I mean, he pretty much tells her everything with the exception of Lash, Cowl, and the Outsider.
Yeah.
Influence.
Which, I mean, all the whole some might say might be some critical information, but yes, obviously, yes. Age appropriate, whatever you want to say, right? Yeah, just because she doesn't need to know it all and tells her.
And I said, he'll have to work on his pizza.
Yeah. And there's the payoff to that. Oh, yeah, by the way, because I just freed a bunch more, I'm going to have a whole bunch of other people that are like,
I didn't even catch that it was in his name the first time. Like, I missed that. Like, it was just like, just free the little people. I missed that.
Yeah, the significant, which is part. Easy because they don't make a big deal of it in the moment. He's like, just release me my name. And
it's just funny because, he gives away everyone else's secrets constantly, but his own secrets. He's like, I'm not telling anyone that I buy them with pizza, okay? Because he could have asked Laura, too, for like, I don't know, $1,000 in Pizza Hut gift cards or something like that. Right? Like, that would have given away too much, but he's like, but Laura, we have a deal, right? Oh, yeah, right, Mr. Wraith. But Laura,
Yeah.
But yeah, don't give away your own pizza secrets, Harry.
Well, it is because even just in and of itself, right? Right, releasing them in his name is already like, well, we trapped you, but now Harry says we have to let you go, so we're letting you go. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to get rewarded on the other end of it as well.
Well, the reward is not being released. The reward is pizza for life.
I mean, it's somewhat being released because they wouldn't get pizza for life if they weren't. But yeah, exactly right. Like, yeah, as far as Laura can tell, exactly. That's
I get
just
to live
it.
And
like,
I get pizza?
Harry says I have to let you go.
Like, Laura doing the whole, like, oh, they were trespassing. Like, it's basically birds on it's your property. Oh, yeah. Like, it's not like, you know, they were trespassing, you know, but she's like, technically speaking, they're conscientious beings and they were on my property. But I'm like, burly, it's like having like fucking birds and bugs on your property. Like, the little people are fucking everywhere.
Oh, it's like poaching laws or whatever. If it's, you can't, towns. I don't know if that's like real anywhere in the world. It used to was, but honestly, I just recently, one I hadn't read before, Roald Dahl's Danny, Champion of the World. And that's the thing, anyways, they're talking about poaching or whatever, and they're like, well, we can't go take them off, but they're like, if the birds flew out of their land area and, like, came and sat, then they would be, like, our birds. Like, they can't, there's no law over, you know, like the animals or whatever. If the animals, so it's kind of like that. It's like, well, technically they came onto our land, so technically we can exterminate all of these, you know. But yeah. Anywho.
Okay, so Murphy then shows up and probably does, or not probably, does do her whole, now you give me the information that I don't know. It's very fun, you know. He's just like, okay, Molly, what do you not know? Okay, Murphy, what do you not know? Okay, Ramirez, what do you not know? Okay, Elaine, what do you not know? I'll fill in the blanks for everybody.
It's a neat way to sort of let the reader know by using all of these different characters in on things.
Yeah. So we're assuming Magical's the one who tried to blow up the car.
Maybe. Life's a mystery.
I don't know. There could technically be 40 other people that might have done it, but it seems likely. So unless that serves a point to pay off later, either it was Magical or we may be surprised yet.
So Hendrix is also in the hospital. Dude took a beating, apparently. Ramirez in the hospital got stabbed, if you don't remember.
Yeah, and the leg and the gut. That constitutes.
How did you get Marcone to agree to come and do this fight? And this is where we find out that Harry agreed to make him a signatory of the Accords, which is crazy.
Holy shit, what?
Holy fuck. Now, okay, Harry does do a quick explanation. He's like, of course, there's tons, you know, there's Vatarung and there's a couple dragons and there's, you know. So he's like, so it's not unprecedented. And all he needs is, he just needs somebody to back him up. Three people have to say, yes, I agree to be one of those three people. Again. Oh,
good luck finding the other two.
That's obviously going to be easy as fuck. But I do think it's a little bit more of Harry being like, they already hate me. Sure, let me just go. And more of the point of Harry being like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm part of the council. But I just do whatever the fuck I want. I don't ask anyone for permission to do anything. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to sign on as a White Council, even though I'm part of the White Council and not a freestanding lord myself. I can just sign on as Harry Dresden. It's like, sure, fine, whatever.
Oh, good point.
Do whatever you want, bro.
Yeah, he's a little bit wild card that way.
And they just let him. They're just like, whatever, more proof that you're obviously fucking crazy and evil, Harry. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
You did what?
I was going to say, for all they don't like him doing stuff, yet, I mean, and again, I'm sure it makes it even harder now that they've made him a warden, right? That has some status and authority. But the fact that, like, why don't you just... I get in some ways that, like, hey, if you're on the council, then that gives you, again, the power, the status, too. But considering this is the only semi-sort of governing body, that it seems such a you are, you know, you're either over the line or you're not.
Matt doesn't care if you sign on as an individual or as a group. Whatever.
No, but it's true. Harry speaking for the council, right? They keep being like, stop fucking speaking because you don't fucking represent us. I'm like, they don't take that away. But it's like the fact that they would have to strip him completely of, right? So that's it. It's like, if you're a wizard, then you get to speak on behalf of all wizards.
Supposedly, yeah.
Like, I just, that seems kind of like a flaw in the whole system.
Well, it's like the council themselves are like, you don't get to speak on behalf of us. But all the other supernatural baddies are like, hey, Harry said yes, so fuck you.
But yes and no, because that's why he keeps getting into trouble. Like, that was the whole problem with Bianca, because he went as an official representative of the council. So whatever he said and did, stuck.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, the council themselves are like, stop doing things on our behalf. And everyone else is like, no way, he counts as your behalf.
Well, but that's what I mean, is they don't, if they because they could publicly disown and be like, he does not speak for us, but they would have to strip him. They'd have to say he's not a wizard anymore. He's not part of the council. He's not, which they can't and won't do. But I'm just saying, it's like you'd think they would find somewhere in there to be like, okay, you're strong enough to be part of the council, but it doesn't mean you get to speak for everything, you know, again, unless you are like the senior council or you have been given, like, we are sending Harry, our emissary, on our behalf to negotiate, or, but just the fact that he's like, because I exist as part of this group, I get to say and do whatever the fuck, and you guys all have to reap the consequences of it. I mean, it's great for us, and I'm like, go Harry, but I'm just saying, as far as the council is concerned, you think after,
hard knock life,
you know,
okay,
15 years of waiting for this guy to snap and being sure he was, that you maybe wouldn't give him that, you know? Just saying.
Well, he says that, like, part of, like, he's, you know, on his behalf of having to protect Chicago, he can speak up for the council in this particular case and sign on for Marcone.
Like, well, I was going to say, and yes, they've given him more, like you said, making him a warden and giving him an area than he now
has.
I agree.
It's kind of like seems above his purview, but it counts. So he gets to do it.
It's, yeah, again, you seem like if you had somebody that was that considered to be that much of a troublemaker, you would be like, okay.
Everyone except you. But like, they had to draft him during war ties. He gets to do whatever he wants. Blah, blah, blah. I get all that. I still think it's like Harry himself still flipping off the council and being like, ha, I'm even going to let war criminals into our group now. Like, fuck you. War criminals, that's a little high.
I was going to say, of all the things, that's one of the things Marcone tries to make the whole point of that. Yeah, how he keeps law and order is that he, you know, only kills other bad people or people that choose to be, you know, but yes. an amoral guy, but
yes, a chance at the seat of the table.
I was gonna say he could only be a war crimes now because now he's only signed on to the global council.
He hasn't got there yet.
Well, I thought you meant just more than he doesn't like actually act that into atrocities that bad yet. But yes,
they don't count as war.
Yes. But yes, exactly. And I mean, I think part of it is that I think exactly. You can be like, well, how was I supposed to know he was going to find anybody else to sign? You know, I mean, you can play a little bit of that card and be like, well, he needs three people. I was just one. But
so yes, Elaine, yes. Let's send you back to California where you belong.
She's already got her tail tucked between her legs and she's off.
Gotta go.
She does make a good point of why she shouldn't stay in the hospital, though. She's like, oh, I don't want to have a nightmare and end up.
Which Harry flatlining has somebody. Used himself a number of times, whether it's staying in the hospital or walking through the hospital. Or
sounds like it's pretty commonplace because Ramirez. Ramirez has they're coming for him in the morning, kind of thing.
And it makes sense
as well.
Because, like you say, just the basic magical force field around you is, like I said, these are all powerful people, right? These aren't the Anna Ashes and the Abbeys, right? So, yeah, it makes sense that any one of them. It's like, well, you're super weak and, like, battered. Well, hopefully, you know. But, yeah, the second you start to get any of your energy back, it's just...
Yeah, so it's embarrassing to have forgotten events of this book when some major things happen right here at the end, especially.
Yeah.
Because, holy shit, where are we going to do with all this money that we got from Lara?
Is that so cool? So yeah, pay back whoever they could and would find, but obviously people that had no
dependents
or whatever, and they're like, well, we got something with that.
Let's start our own charity fund.
Isn't that cool? And it is. This was a cool moment too. And again, as you go on, you forget sometimes about like, oh yeah, that didn't start until then. And it's a cross right now with how far we're getting between being like, oh, it's been around since then, and also it didn't happen until then. Like both so early and so late when you know it exists. But yeah. Yes, super cool idea of let's have some kind of a network to group all these people together so next time they have somewhere to go.
Yep.
That
so smart.
Yeah, so smart and so cool. And
Anna would have liked that.
Anna would have liked that.
That part I don't like because you don't know that. You barely knew her.
Except that Otto was trying to save a bunch of people. So in the spirit of just saving a bunch of people, I guess we can safely assume, but... But yeah, giving these people all like the kind of purpose and whatever to go right again. They are the magical have-nots, but now again, right?
They got to be protected.
Strength in
numbers.
Clearly,
they need to be protected.
They clearly need to be protected. But I mean, this is a chance for them to do something about it, to help themselves and to help each other and stuff like that too, right? Be like, yeah, individually on our own, maybe we're not so much, but exactly, you give us a resource to put us all together, and you know, yeah. Empowering them more than they were themselves and for each other.
So next, Harry visits Ramirez, and Ramirez asks for the truth. All right, start talking, bud.
Dude, come on. Fucking Molly knows more than I do, man.
A, what happened? Did Cal get away? And B, why the fuck are you friends with all these goddamn monsters?
Right? Yeah, interesting.
You were so buddy-buddy with Lara and Thomas. You were so buddy-buddy with Marcone. Dude.
Somebody was paying attention.
Yeah. Somebody else. Like, it's not like that, Carlos. Honest.
I swear, I'm only angry at you right now because of the thing in my head, not because I hate the council.
But wait, no, he isn't.
Yeah, Ramirez is a pretty smart cookie because he pretty much calls out every single thing that Harry's already been doing and suspected, and he's like, see, I already know, just fucking tell me.
Yeah, you're not hiding it as good as you think you are, like, and even this, like, it makes sense, but it's also a little bit of an ooh when Ramirez is like, we need to talk, like, we need to talk about trust. Harry's like, oh, of course you don't trust me, nobody trusts me, fine, I'll fucking leave, I'm gonna ding the bongo.
Okay, drama queen.
And then he's like, I meant you don't trust me, and he's like, okay, yeah. And then
it's about time somebody calls him a drama queen. I've been calling him a drama queen in his last few books.
Right. Oh, Morgan and you. So, yeah, so they figure out. But then he says, he's like, and this is just an aside to specifically that, where he's like, oh, you don't like me, I'm going to leave. And then he's like, I sat with him for the rest of the night until senior council member listens to and arrived with his team of medical types before dawn the next morning. You don't leave an injured friend all alone. you weren't about to 5 minutes. So I'm like, oh, is that because, like, oh, he was my friend. I thought he was, like, again. But I was like, yeah, 5 minutes ago, you already fucking walk out and leave him. And now you're like, oh, I can't leave. I'm alone all night. I have to sit with him.
Maybe getting passed out, but.
I have to listen to this shit, but okay. But yes, they do have a talk. And he discovers that, yeah, Ramirez has also been picking up on some of these things. And Harry's not the only fucking one that can see what's going on in the world. He calls them the Black Hats. I call them the Black Council. Ooh, yours is better.
Right. So essentially, probably more than just these two are coming to conclusions that someone in the White Council can't be trusted. There's new people coming into play. They want to screw over everyone equally.
Yep. Everybody's getting... There's way too much top secret, highly classified, very important information just flying around and getting into everybody's hands.
But you're willing to cut deals with vampires. That's still better than our people.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I think you might be able to find the traitor coming in from the other side. Which, again, is not sort of an angle I'm like, yeah, I guess fair enough. That's not just like know who your enemies are, but exactly see mm-hmm. where their sources are coming from.
But again, Ramiro's showing what a good friend he is. He's like, I'm not going to rat you out to the Merlin.
Yeah.
He wouldn't listen to you for a second.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
and you should definitely not tell him.
Mm-hmm. Or would think that, yeah, you're
behind it
all.
But I'm there for you, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, I know. And again, even with this too, he's like, well, what about Marcone? He's like, I know Marcone is not like working with. How can you be sure? Because Marcone works for fucking nobody.
Yeah.
Marcone. Which, fair enough.
And also fair to the point, whether or not you want Marcone to have a seat at the table, I'm like, Marcone knows. He's in. And it's kind of the same point that Harry said. It's like, he has a right to defend his people.
Okay? He leveled up very fast. As soon as, right? Because he still was only vague. Because he knew enough to know about Harry in book one. So he had to have some idea of the supernatural world before these guys got murdered. Because he knew too much, right? But from there, very right, he's like, okay, this shit is out there. I have now seen things enough to prove. And
well, especially with that whole Shroud thing that happened a few books ago, too.
Yeah, right? But yeah. Like you say, like,
getting involved with Monarch Securities.
He's like, now that I know this is there, I need to know everything about it to use it to my advantage if I can, to protect against it if I can't. And yeah, exactly right. So there's no pussyfooting around. There's no like, oh, I once saw something weird in an alley, so I think maybe.
Well, and especially because of how much his life does blend into it. I mean, like, Tommy was exploded by a fucking...
Tommy Tom, yep.
Curse or whatever like that, right? The werewolf thing happened on his property.
Yes.
The supernatural's finding Marcone, whether or not he wants to be involved, you know?
That too, yeah, both, yes. More and more because he's getting more involved. But yeah, again,
he's
even
clever
just,
and he's financed.
Yipper skipper!
Speaking of Marcone, Harry pays him a visit.
What?
It's so weird to see him and Helen.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It was unsettling for me.
Yeah. Like, No.
You don't go from like trying to kill to trying to...
Apparently you do. There's a very fine line between kiss and kill.
Fucking crazy people.
It is.
Kiss, kill, marry. This is too far.
even from her, like, I can see it even from her getting, again, this twisted after so long of being in trauma and denial. But it's almost strange to me from Marcone that Marcone is like, oh, okay.
Interested, yeah,
you
right?
You wanna make out with the guy? Like, right?
Weird move.
Since he has more inside information and knows more and blah, 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 blah. Like, it does. It almost seems strange. Because, again, you're like, Helen is just traumatized and a little bit cuckoo, right? Like, she's been through shit. She's not altogether there in whatever way you want to deem that. But Marcone supposedly is, right? What makes him good is that he doesn't fucking lie to himself and whatever, and right? So if he is as straight, sane and level-headed and whatever, then you're like, why the fuck are you? Does this not make you feel weird?
He's got needs and he can't have Harry, so...
He also owns a fucking brothel, so I'm like, yeah, Marcone, I'm sure, is not hard up for companionship should he want it. And again, seems more like the type, because he's not
still
one to...
Still a mobster. Still kills people.
To drag... Yeah, he seems one not for, you know, entanglements and strings and things. You'd think he'd be like, yeah, sure, Bonnie, come into my office, and... If he could be bothered with, but yeah, it does. It's always been like, even stranger from, but there they are. Yeah. And they give him a smug little smile.
It's like, easier to believe that they just did that a second before Harry walked in. They'd be like, you know what would be so funny and piss him off? Get on my lap.
I was going to say, and despite him, like, yeah, like, Marcone, like you say, doesn't know everybody that's coming in and out of his office anyways. And even he's like, Harry starts to go all the way upstairs and down the hall. He totally could have set it up.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Okay, so
I'm gonna believe it's that. Actually, I would much
easier,
rather
right?
just
it's yeah, easier, like, yeah.
That makes the scene better.
Yeah. So goes over a little bit more of this whole Vargassi and how what happened to the girl and why Marcone took that over and the background behind it. And
yeah.
Ultimately, Harry and Marcone both agree not to tell Helen because they're like, yeah, she probably can't handle that. Which I don't know that that's either of their choice to make.
Well, Harry says as much. Harry's but, like, I don't think it's my choice, but I don't be the one to tip her over the
but
edge.
But he still
again,
says, so. Yeah, but he's like, but I'm like, fine, fair enough, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It. I mean, it'd be one thing if she was actually like coherent, but because she's not, it's...
I was gonna say.
Yeah, the coma's still like
and
that.
For that long, like, she's... That's...
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're like, what, 15 years or something like that? We figured on, like... Yeah, and in all fairness, it is a very touchy situation, and it is a very hard call to make. And quite frankly, if I was in Harry's shoes, I don't know that I'd want to be the one to make that. I'd be pissed off maybe having the knowledge and feeling like I was in a position that I should do something, but yeah, I'm really not sure that I would want to be the one to be like, so, by the way...
He's like, I'll probably never see her again.
Yeah, right. Crazy, crazy. But that's not the only thing they're there for. Oh, got the contract all ready to go.
Yep. And the other two signatures are going to be Donna Vatterung of Monarch Securities and Lara Wraith. That wasn't so hard.
Yeah. Well, I think that was the only thing earlier when you started to say, because I was like, wait, because here he's like, who's Don? But I was like, oh, yeah, they did say he knew the CEO of Monarch. He just apparently didn't know until now that Vatterung was the CEO of Monarch. That's why I was like, for a second, my brain was cogitating, coagulating.
Now for the biggest.
But he finally has a name.
Now for the biggest plot twist of the whole book. To me, first time I read this, it wasn't clear to me that Lash was sacrificing herself. When she says, I'll tell you later, and she takes that mental hit, it's not clear that she's going to die from this.
I don't remember for sure anymore. I feel like I took that, but honestly, it's been long enough now that I cannot remember 100% for sure if I caught the drift to where that was heading or not.
To me, I just wasn't ready for it. So when they're staring at his left hand and it's gone, the mark is gone, I'm like,
what the fuck?
Well, yeah, like she fully erased her existence in him. She erased her connection, her
I took that as like
possession.
Took away the actual Lashiel's influence away from him, like severed that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like when Lash sacrificed herself to take that mental hit.
Oh, I see.
It fully
killed her or whatever.
Yeah, and that's what she's saying. The sign of the possession was gone, right?
She just didn't realize that that's what she had done. She didn't realize she committed suicide in that moment is what she's saying. I don't know, this is the biggest plot twist.
I think it was the next one, but... okay, touche.
But still, very important.
Trying to remember how Lash left.
Yes.
Like, reading 12 Months in Battleground, I'm like, how the fuck did we get rid of Lash? Like, I don't remember what got rid of it. And in my head, I was like, was it in Changes when he started taking on new deals? It just kind of like... throughout the old one, and I was like, I could not think to myself, like, what the fuck got rid of Lash? And then reading this one, I'm like, oh, fuck. That's what it was.
Lash got rid of Lash.
And the one, on the, I mean, in a technical sense, she left with a bang, but like, she kind of doesn't. She kind of bowed out very quietly the end of Lash. It's like, oh, my gosh. Like,
and, yeah.
Harry's building up in this story to using her more and more and more and becoming more and more reliant on her. And then she's just gone. You're like, oh, fuck. You solved that one so easily.
But you're so on.
She solved it herself, really. But.
But you're such an asshole. Here, let me take this super powerful thing that can give Harry lots of great uses. May can be like, you know what? Let's start working out a little independent relationship where I get to use you, but I'm not actually giving in. And we're really like, yeah, cool. She's so cool. She can do such cool stuff. Like, yoink.
Yep.
Now she's dead.
Didn't even have time to tell you anything. Oop.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. Fucking temptress, manipulative. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you everything as soon as I get back from this.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It definitely was, though. It was a big hit. It was a very interesting moment. And this is where I was going to bring it up originally and kind of touch on before. But where he was like, Lash. He's like, I gave you a name. I've given you a nickname. I've made you this all. And then, like I say, in that period up until then, we kept being like, Lashiel. Or I guess Lash. I was like, I'm not quite sure if you're just, again, just reiterating that.
I think
to,
he's being annoying
to
there.
Being at home or if there's some other.
And yeah, and Bob trying to equate it to like, oh, you've lost a piece of your soul. And he's like, oh, it happens all the time. And you hug these people and you have sex with those people and you share a moment with these people. And like,
it'll grow back.
Yeah, weird. Okay.
I was going to say, some of that for sure, you're like, okay, I get. Because again, he's like, I expected some of that. He's like, a piece of my soul is missing. And Bob's like, yeah, get over yourself, you. I sort of see that.
That's come up before already, though, hasn't it? Like, we're like,
It has been touched on.
I think it was like they touched on it with some of the psychic attacks.
Yeah, well, because like Kravos took that chunk out of him too, a bit like a hole, and he's like, oh, you can repair and heal, you know? I mean, yeah, it's better if you get that piece of you back, but it's kind of like, I guess, a limb. If we can sew your finger back on, you'll heal up much better and quicker, but you will still heal regardless of whether that finger can be reattached or not. And but yes, there have been other instances where he's touched on bits of...
It was quite a touching send-off with him being able to... with him playing a lament on the guitar.
Yes. So it definitely was interesting. That whole little, and again, like, he's like, whatever, I don't care. And he's like, wait, Harry, are you crying? He's like, no. And you're like, oh, he did. But I mean, like you say, like it or not, good resource or not, you did have, right? I mean, like, you have that person living in your head for, you know what I mean? It would be like something like, yeah, a roommate you've had for a few years that just suddenly, like, you know, even if you like clashed all the time or like, oh, it would just, yeah, emotionally
more or
jarring.
Less talking to each other every day.
Every day, whether you liked it or not, like, exactly.
No more hot showers.
No, and yeah, exactly, right? Just all, but so, because like you say, even if he wasn't, you know, using her mastermind powers, he soundboarded things and stuff like that before, right? Just a general, like...
Even in sleep, his subconscious was talking to her every day.
So it definitely, I remember it having an impact that way, whether or not that I sort of realized that was what had happened or not. I do remember that, yeah, kind of having that, being like, but, I mean, on the one hand, you're right, it's great because it was a horrible bad thing and could get him in so much trouble. And especially if anybody, you know, the council found out, wow.
I mean, you're lucky in all that time nobody ever saw your hand and was like, that looks like a sigil.
Good thing you had an excuse to wear a glove over it all this time and not like, yeah, all of those things you got very, very lucky with. And yes, I'm glad you've gotten out that way, that you no longer
like literally the easiest out possible, honestly.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is, you know, a loss of so many, you know, least of all, you know, a resource in that. But yeah, so many things. It was just kind of a crazy, and it's like, well, no, you gotta go back to do shit for yourself. Like, even that, right? It was like, that was his hellfire. How much has he used that to amp up his spells and things, right? And now it's like, no, that's even that extra bit is gone. So don't worry, but Ramirez.
Even the calling Father Fort Hill to come and take it away from him, I'm like, couldn't you have also just done that, just not had the coin in your possession at all? Or was that still influence that was kind of making you keep it somewhat close by? So I'm like, even if you'd surrendered it to the church the whole time.
He still could have called it to himself, apparently.
Well,
but
I'm saying maybe he couldn't have. Maybe they could have kept that under, like, you know, holy wraps. Like, you can't call the church inside, you know.
Yeah.
Land, desecrated land. What's the opposite?
Consecrated.
Thank you.
Desecrated. I like that. Ooh.
It's got to exist.
Yes. Harry has desecrated a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting whether... It, like you say, it was that influence telling him, oh, you can't get rid of it, that he, or whether, I don't know, I think viewed it to a certain degree that, again, keeping his options open, like, he didn't want to necessarily, and, like, he buried it, but, because otherwise he could have done that straight from the start, you're right, he could have given him the coin, he could have been, like, fucking doing exorcisms on me, whatever, right, but whatever reasons he chose not to do anything about it even long before he knew, because that's what he did right off the bat, was bury the coin. But then he didn't get conscious of her until like 1 to 2 books later, depending. It was the end of book 5 and then the beginning of book 7, so whatever time frame you want to read that is with Sheila, yeah, before he, so it's not even like so it's not even like he knew he had something to protect from it that way. But yeah,
I think, well, yeah, she was just learning the ropes, really, biding her time until she knew him better to trick him, but...
Obviously, but like yes. You say, why he didn't just, like you say, from when he first touched it, why he didn't immediately go to Fort Hill and be like... Because does it say that way, he didn't necessarily know he had a shadow in him, per se, other than he had the mark right away, but...
Anyways, Thomas trails his brother, because he's still keeping secrets after all that.
And God damn it...
Stalks him all the way to a salon that he apparently owns.
The coiffure cup.
I thought he just worked at it, but upon this reread, I'm like, wait a second. He's like the main guy.
He is the main guy. No. Yes, he owns it.
Oh. And he's French, obviously, because no one would let an American touch their hair.
Yeah, no one would let some straight American dude do what Thomas does.
This is to charge the big bucks.
Yeah.
The big, but yeah. He's like, they're not going to believe I'm straight. They're not going to believe I'm American. They're not. I just, yeah, none of that carries any weight in this world.
Yeah. But yeah, Thomas worked as a night security to put himself through cosmetology school and then opened a salon. I'm proud of you, bro.
I am proud of him. It is good.
It's hard.
He worked hard. Again, it wasn't just natural. I mean, obviously, maybe he's got a little bit of flair for it, given his super vampy powers. Dexterity. But again, he didn't just open a salon. He's like, no, I had to go and learn how to do this shit. Mm-hmm. I went to cosmetology school to fucking learn how to cut hair and whatever. So he's like, yeah, did all that. The fact that he put himself through school to learn it all. And then exactly the fact that he came up with this plan on... Right? It's actually a well thought out, like, I need to feed. How can I feed? Hey, like, you know what I mean? Most of us, this is not a jump we would have made to be like, right? But him.
And it placates Harry's ideals too.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean. Exactly. Thomas is like, I don't want to be a monster. I don't want to just feed indiscriminately. I don't want to kill people. Like, he's been trying to not do that since, like, before he met Harry and all of that, which is great. Now he's, you know, in it more. Because, of course, with Harry, you know, looking over his shoulder all the time, he's even more. But that was it, right? Like, he actually sat down and was like, how do I solve this problem? All right. And he's like, here's a way that I can both get fed and earn a living, because that had not been working out well for him. And, right, I just love that he put all this time and thought and effort and came up with this workable solution that, again, maybe isn't perfect, but again, pretty, because he's still gonna be addicted. He's like, maybe, maybe not, but again, oh my god, they're addicted to getting their hair done all, like, you know what I mean? Like, still way far below whatever years he was stripping off otherwise, right? So, yeah, I'm like, kudos to you, Thomas, for a well thought out, thinking outside the box, right? This is not how most of us would have, right? But again,
I'm proud.
You get to touch them. You get to be in. I mean, because honestly, in a lot of ways,
he was secrets and
and
it stops Harry from bragging on him too.
Yeah, your priest, your bartender, and your hairdresser. These are like,
and yeah, he's charging enough that he can afford this swanky apartment and get all his bills paid and it's
that too.
Still doing better than you, Harry. You piece of shit.
I was gonna say some of that extra sexy vampire, because you're right, he basically just became a no one to a name. Like, he like literally by his own words has just graduated beauty school and already he is like the guy to go to.
Harry's all like, I think it's skeezy to like charge clients for a swanky hotel and all this mileage and all this extra stuff, and Thomas is like, First of all, man. I'm gonna make you addicted to my haircuts.
Secondly, this is America, this is how capitalism works, baby. Yeah. So, Harry, this is why you're a loser. Yeah. You should be doing all of these things.
Yep.
So, but yes.
Not only do we find out that he is a hairdresser, but that he has been reaccepted back into House Wraith for his heroic deeds.
Because now he just helped save a bunch of them, even though he also helped blow the place up.
Which is still like Team Laura planning ahead.
Exactly. That just gives her an excuse to be like, oh, no, he helped. Now we can
keep those enemies closer.
Yeah, exactly, right? Just, she was...
But, oh, ho, ho, Laura's not the only one, because Justine and Thomas are pulling their own scam.
As if Laura doesn't know that Justine isn't, like, that she's already using her to, like...
A flaky...
Carry messages to Harry, like, as if she doesn't know that she's not cognitive
enough. On the one hand,
like,
I agree. On the other hand, I think maybe she thinks that she's kind of, like, molded and raised Justine from this, like, broken shell now that she's, like, incapable of deception.
Well, yeah, because you had, like, part of Papa Wraith's trouble was that, if you remember his bodyguards, Barbie and Ken, she's like, he basically just psychically... You know, rape them, fed on them, whatever, to make them just malleable and whatever. And while she's not doing it the same way, I can see that Laura thinks that right, exactly, like, Justine was all but a vegetable. Laura has nursed her back to health. She's given her, like, right, that again, she could have that whole Stockholm Syndrome thing, whatever you want to look at it, that exactly molded to that, yes, Justine has some smarts and some talents and some brain cells, but that Laura is using them all for her purpose and benefit, that she might not give Justine enough credit to be operating on her own or outside and above, right?
I don't know. Just after seeing, like, how she manipulated the whole other white, like, all the other stuff.
It's fair. Like,
it is also a little bit that, yeah, for Justine to be able to pull off that big of that, exactly, like you say, if Laura trusts her at all that she wouldn't be aware of her being somewhat more capable. So yeah, I'm another floppy on it too.
Harry and Marcone are using each other, and so are Lauren and Justin. The three of them are like, whatever works for
each other. Incestuous triangle of power, and yeah. So yeah, so as far as they know, anyways, Lara does not know that Justine is collecting and conveying big time secrets from her side of the thing. She's just sharing what she's been told to share.
Crazy.
So yeah, all kinds of
whole new world now for Harry Dresden.
Whole lot of big changes.
Lots of changes.
Yeah, we cement some alliances. We see behind the curtains on some of them. We see new ones being built and introduced. Mm-hmm. And and poor Tomas.
Tomas.
And I get it. It's kind of a little bit of a sweet thing, too, I guess, in the way that Tomas was kind of, like, embarrassed. Because on the one hand, you're like, you're kicking it. Like, yeah, but at the same time, I'm like, I get, especially where you were struggling when you were with Harry, that I was like, you're going to go to beauty school. But it is kind of crazy. Harry's like, no, man, I'm totally here for you. And I'm totally going to laugh my ass off at you.
Oh, brothers.
Fine to be your brother of support and help perpetuate this thing that everybody is going to assume I'm your guy and not your family. Then
not nearly as nefarious as we all thought.
I'm going to take my jabs where I can get them.
So that concludes the book.
That's it.
Another one down. That's the fastest we've ever gotten through one of these books, like since like Stormfront and Full Moon.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 23 episodes to cover 43 chapters. Good job.
So we're moving on to the...
Downtown, yes. Starting with Downtown. And then we're going to be running through a fucking long list of short stories and side stories. Probably be 2 episodes of Downtown, possibly 3 or 4, depending on how much we talk, which, knowing us, highly likely.
Anybody's guess.
So Downtown is a graphic novel for those of you that do like to keep up with what we're reading next. Followed after that, it's going to go from It's My Birthday 2, which is out of Side Jobs. Then it's going to be another graphic novel, which is Wild Card. And then the really small vignette on Jim Butcher's website, Mike. And then we're into the Dogman graphic novel. And then Herot?
Yes.
Which is also inside Herot? Jobs.
Yeah.
And then finally Herot? We'll come on to Small Favor. So probably in about 2 months' time, we'll start with Small Favor, more or less. And then we might also throw in 1 or 2 fun things as well.
That's a whole lot of stuff that I have never actually read and had the chance to forget.
Yeah, this is actually brand new.
Completely brand
new. Totally brand new for Kansan, yeah. And again, genuinely, I think most of the people who listen to this already know and have read most of that side and inner content. But they're important to the story. They relate to the events of the book, so you got to read them with us, okay?
There you go. So gotta. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
You've been told.
And if you want reference, we do actually have a list of the reading order that we do go through on our website. So
chronological,
you can find it there.
It is mostly updated. Not quite. It's missing the last, like, 3 months of bullshit that's been added. But that's because I don't know how to fucking put that in way. We're probably going to do publication order when we get to that because, like, 7 of them all happen at the exact same time.
All right, good to know.
Yeah, all right. Fun! Another book down!
Woohoo! Another one down, another one down.
This concludes our episode 18.23, Familiar Devils. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling, conjured by it at your own risk.
Woo!